Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Well, the flamethrower known as AJ Benza is joining us with a lot of revelations, especially with the Woody Allen, Mia Farrow situation and J-Lo as well. And then the news coming as well. First, 15 seconds for Simply Safe. You got 30 minutes? Good. That's all it takes to set up your Simply Safe home security system. Just go to simplysafe.com/Adam. Choose the exact sensors you need. Get help from one of their experts. It'll get your house in about a week, and then take a half hour, set it up. And when you do, you get a free security camera. It's simplysafe.com/Adam.
Adam Carolla's I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, navigating our all-woke, no-joke culture, has over 1,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. Here's one.
Another hilarious critical, I assume for taking this star, the old culture for Adam, 5-star.
Thanks, Ozzy. Pick up I'm Your Emotional Support Animal now. Available in all formats. For more, go to adamcarolla.com.
All right, AJ Benza is joining us from Chicago. Is that true?
Yes, I'm seeing family in Chicago. They moved here a couple of years ago to be near the Joey, you know, the famous farter, Joey's kids. He has two young daughters. So my sister moved out here to be closer to the long farts. Mm-hmm. And I've been with him quite a bit. We had a lot of Monogatari last night, which is a good fuel, some veal. It should be an interesting night tonight when I see him. It'll be a little noisy. We'll save some for you. We'll send you some zip files.
Yes, please. Please be handy.
I will.
Have the phone handy because... There's nothing that makes me laugh harder than farts and the men that record them. You know,
it's well. We were so touched to be on the song for your 3,000th show, sandwiched in between Dunnigan doing Stallone and AJ Benz's nephew's farts. That is like, I mean, that's like a tombstone kind of thing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
We couldn't believe it. Fantastic.
Well, we couldn't have done it without you. Although we probably would have tried. The podcast Fame is a Bitch and Politics is a Bitch, available on Patreon, by the way. And you can shoot him, find him on Instagram at Real AJ Benza.
Actually, you know what? I got hacked. Somebody hacked me. My Instagram is Pope Benza 2018. Don't ask me how I got hacked, but I got destroyed. I lost everybody. So, the best thing is to go look up Pope Benza 2018, but that's fine. But go right ahead.
All right. Well, let's hear what AJ wants to talk about this week.
It's time for Allegedly with AJ Benza. Called that so we don't get sued.
Well, number one, I like to break news on your guys' show. And a year and a half ago, I said J-Lo and A-Rod would never get married. I said it would never. There's no way. He's too narcissistic. He's too much of a guy who wants to run around and play. We know that he had that little relationship thing with the Southern Charm actress, not actress, reality star Madison LaCroix, who's cute, easy on the eyes. And this is what happens with J-Lo. She can't keep a man. She just can't. And I think it's because she's just very narcissistic and really into herself. They're trying to act like they're still together. TMZ had him calling her babe. They're going through their shit. They're not going to get married. I was right about that. So whatever they're going through now, it has to do with A-Rod probably always wanting to fuck a hot fitness instructor. That's his thing.
Well, you know, my feeling with the J-Lo's of the world is find a civilian. You know, if you really want love and you want to settle down, and I'm not talking about a bricklayer, you know, find a guy, a successful architect or attorney or something like that. Or, you know, what works the best? These gals, they go through all the celebrity dudes and all the Playboy types and all that kind of stuff. And then at some point, they get some tech guy, some 29-year-old nerd who's worth 10 times what the celebrity's worth. But he's like low key and he didn't get laid in high school and he whacked off to you when he was 14. Yeah. And now he's got you in his arms and he's never letting go. Go get that dude.
Right. He's going to take great care of you. He's got the money. She's got the money. But A-Rod, you know, a year and a half ago, I did a big story for Radar Online. I knew someone whose husband put in all the video and audio in J-Lo's Bel Air house that A-Rod began to stay at. And A-Rod's got a room in that house that has a bunch of TV monitors so he can see all the baseball games because he's a color analyst for Fox and ESPN. One of the stipulations J-Lo wanted was, you know, A-Rod would use the laptop and use one of the screens for his email and everything else. And J-Lo made sure she was able to see what emails he was sending. So believe me, she's seen enough to know what kind of guy he is. A-Rod is, I'm a Yankee fan. You know, Derek Jeter had the most beautiful girlfriends in the world during the Yankees' great run. A-Rod had Cameron Diaz. He had Kate Hudson. He had Madonna even showed up. It was always a thing. Jeter's girlfriends were ensconced in like, in a clubhouse kind of, what do you call that? The private booths. But A-Rod's girls had to make a scene. He just loves himself so much that, you know, between the two of them, him and J-Lo, any kind of mirror or reflective surface in that house would send them into orgasmic bliss. They love each other. They're perfect for each other. But he fucks around all the time. He's never going to change.
Is someone like J-Lo, is everything a calculated career-based decision? I mean, does it factor into everything?
Let's go down the list. You know, before Mark Anthony, figure out about that first guy. That was the first marriage, whatever. Mark Anthony, Puerto Rican. We can both understand each other. We get our whole fucking our whole culture. They have two kids. Then she goes to Sean Combs, who... obviously a great career move for her. She jumps up in notoriety. Then she gets caught in a car with a gun with him. She says, this is not for me. She goes to Ben Affleck, who's up on the rise as an actor director. That didn't work out. Almost destroyed his acting career. And then she goes to A-Rod and it's another move up. Even though J-Lo you can't dispute how talented she is. She's a great dancer. I could do without her singing, but fuck, she's good at everything she does. I mean, she really is. She's a triple threat. But why, if she's that much of a threat, and God knows she's beautiful. Did you see the movie Hustlers, when she played a stripper with Lizzo and Cardi B? It was so fucking bad. I knew that era of scores and the topless girls who did all this kind of stuff. She tries so hard, but she doesn't have to. If she just was normal, she would be so much more appreciated. But she just tries. Super Bowl halftime, I gotta go on a pole and do a strip dance. She just tries too hard.
Speaking on another subject, is Score still there? By the way,
no. It became another company owns it, and there were different scores around the country, but. You know, I got a buddy who's single again, and he's going to strip clubs here and there during the pandemic. And Vegas strip clubs opened up, but the girls danced behind a clear shower curtain, which sounds very sexy.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah. Right. Well, maybe it's Maybe they saw Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, maybe it's more of a Gallagher thing to protect the girls.
That's a good point.
My recollection is I went to Scores not so long after I'd become a celebrity.
Yeah.
And we're going to New York, and it's like, oh, we got to go by Scores. And the only thing, my only real recollection of Scores is I sat down at a table, and when the strippers like sat down at the table, and said, hi, what's your name, honey? What are you doing? And all that kind of stuff. Mind if I order a drink? She ordered a ginger ale. This is, by the way, this is like 1998. The ginger ale was $14, you know? And she took one hit off it, set it down, and she's like, you want to go to the champagne room? And I'm like, no, I'm good here for now. And she's like, okay, and she left. Now I'm staring at $13.81 worth of ginger ale. I didn't even want a ginger ale. I chugged her whole ginger ale because it was $14 of ginger ale. I was on the hook for it, and I wasn't going to leave $14 worth of ginger ale on that fucking table.
I get it. The reason why I went almost every night, because back when I was a columnist, when Scores began, only me and Howard Stern were talking about it, and I never had to pay for a drink or a meal, which I know strip club food can be kind of not worthy of people talking about. But steak and lobster at Scores was fantastic. And occasionally the girls would sit down and they'd talk to you, and I didn't have to pay for dances. It was the best place in the world. But I remember days where Demi Moore went to practice stripping for her movie Striptease, and another beautiful actress. Do you know the, oh my God, what's her name? Oh, I shouldn't have said this. Brian would know, the beautiful Italian actress, not Maria Grazia Cucinata. There's another beautiful Italian actress who was practicing for a role as a stripper in a movie, but she wouldn't let me know it's her.
Monica Bellucci?
Yes.
Monica Bellucci.
That a boy. I knew Brian would get it. Yeah, she was playing
an absolute classic beauty. You guys know Monica Bellucci,
of course. Oh, my God. Yeah. She played a stripper in an Italian movie, but she wouldn't let me know that it was her. But clearly, I knew that Monica Bellucci was dancing for me. It was very surreal.
She would stand out at a strip club.
Dude, back in the day, Scores would have that moment where they all the girls walk out so all the guys could see them. Clearly, you can't do that anymore in this world. But they come out in their evening wear. And I'm talking about 50 girls, and 39 of them you'd run away with. just phenomenal. The other 11 you'd date for about a week. But still, not one girl will you go, oh, Jesus Christ, what is she doing here? Now you've got to have every shape and size. You've got to have the Lizzos. You've got to have the girls who are too big. But, you know, it's only right. I can't stand what's happening. I can't stand. We can't have black memes now. You can't have an Oprah fucking meme. Camila Cabello's taking black classes of how not to be racist or think racist thoughts. Did you see the Grammys? I called it the Mammies. I know that's going to get me canceled. Because everything was, let's salute how great black people are. To the point where they said it, we're celebrating black culture. It's the fucking Grammys. White people win Grammys. No, last night it was the BET meets the Source Awards.
The speaking of the shit, I was watching the commercials, and I watched about the last half hour. But I also like to watch what commercials they run.
Yeah,
and
all black.
I was thinking, oh, hold on. True. There was the Facebook commercial, which was all black and then sort of trans something.
Right.
Which
was
pretty crazy. But there was one for the Venus. It was a Venus shaving commercial. And I'm getting back to what AJ was saying about the strip clubs. Strip clubs, the chicks have gotten too tatted up. Like, they're aggressively tatted now, and it's weird, and it doesn't, like, there's something non-sexual about it, or it's hypersexual. Right. Yes. I don't know, but it's not my cup of tea, the tats and these chicks, thigh tats. Yeah, I don't know. It's one thing, the tramp stamp and the thing behind the neck, but now it's not the thighs. I will show you guys this Venus commercials, like the Venus shaver for intimate parts. And
okay.
Models white.
I couldn't believe it.
Skinny.
Couldn't believe this.
But,
yeah.
But she's got some tats. We'll play it for you.
Yeah, I know.
Corsair, thin skin. When I'm shaving down there, not just any razor will do. New Venus for pubic hair and skin with a patented irritation defense bar. For a smooth shave with blades that barely touch skin.
Whoa. What?
Gina, when you shave your private parts, do you do it in your underwear in the shower? Or do you get naked?
Well, yeah, I'm fully sleeved, so I make sure everyone can see that first. But this, but you're kind of bearing the lead. Okay, I totally get it. We do not see that in commercial. She had arm tattoos, leg tattoos. Yeah. Yes. But the other thing, even if it was supposed to be computer generated or whatever, in female shaving commercials, you never see anything that even remotely involves an actual hair follicle.
Yes.
A cleanly shaven leg with razor. This one, even if it was animated, it showed female hair coming out of a body, which we never see.
No.
But she was, she had a quite a large
very tatted
thigh tattoo, which is always a weird one.
Well, that
there's one peeking
me
out up and down on her camisole, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Right in her boobs. But that brings me to last night. You know, I was saying before we went on air how crazy things are. You know, you can't read six Dr. Seuss books, but kids can sing Wet Ass Pussy in school. And Cardi B can dance on a bed last night with Megan Thee Stallion. And if you noticed, which I'm not sure if people are as nuts as I am, but the two pillows on the giant bed were squished together. And then they made like a vagina type hole between the two pillows. And Cardi B's got so many tats on her. Her rump and her thigh area. It's disgusting. Like, I understand. Look, if you're into tats, you know, 10% of men might want a chick like that, but the other 90 don't need to see that. And they're just showing, you're right, women being shown with the tramp stamp is one thing, the back of the neck, maybe an ankle. I get it. I don't need to see a whole fucking leg or a hip. And you know,
I
Beyonce.
Agree. But wait a minute. Do you think the pillows were intentionally formed to look like a vulva?
Oh, sure.
Can we find it? I don't know if you can find it, but they're Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion are dancing, writhing on a bed.
Because to be fair, AJ's been over to the shop. We stepped out to smoke a cigarette, and he's looked up at a cloud and said, "Look at that shit. Looks like a black woman's vagina." And I said, "AJ, not everything. So I'm tentative, but I'll look at the clip, and
I'll tell you right now, there are people. Okay, look at the pillows. Watch.
Here we go.
Behind her.
All right. It is kind of a vagina pillow. All right. AJ's right.
Okay.
There is a giant vagina pillow.
Are we ready to declare?
The song is called Wet Ass Pussy.
Wet Ass Pussy.
If the song was if they were singing Wildfire, the 70s song about the horse that ran away, I wouldn't think it was a vagina. But if they were singing about vaginas and I saw the pillow, there.
I did like the go-go dancer dancing inside a giant clear heel.
You see that?
Yeah.
And now I guess I need to apologize to you about that cloud, because I was arguing with you at the time. And
well, do you know what fornophilia is?
No.
Fornophilia is
even if I did, I wouldn't say. Let's be honest.
Pornophilia is people who make love to furniture.
Oh.
There are people who have sex with their futons between the, you know, underneath the cushion.
Those are called 13-year-old boys.
Yeah.
Not grinding. I remember grinding on things and realizing this feels good. I'm talking about I just went to IKEA and brought home a couch that I want to fuck. It's a big difference.
Yeah. Now, they usually knock off 10% if it's a returned item, but if AJ drops it off.
There's a restocking fee.
I hate to tell you, Adam, there are people who make love to cars, too. They love the muffler area. They lay down. Okay.
You're talking to one.
I hear that.
Well, you're not breaking any news here, AJ.
I know. I had a friend who made love to his beanbag chair back in the day, so it was told.
And, wow.
I shared that story with a national audience on MTV.
Oh, wasn't he a teacher?
Ended up being a teacher. And then he called and said he would kill me if I ever mentioned that again.
Right. Wow.
And then they reran the episode 2 weeks later. and I, unbeknownst to me, and then I got the call now saying I am going to kill you. But yeah, he didn't know it was just a rerun of the same episode. So I'm here to tell you it exists. I support AJ in this. The other thing that I find kind of interesting, we'll get to the Grammys, but this is the Grammys. There is a thing that I ran into. There's a math problem with joke intros that I believe I spoke about a little bit when I was writing for the Oscars. And I'll tell you what the math is, and then we'll try to figure out a way to solve the math. So we have Trevor Noah, who's the host, and he did the intro to Harry Styles. I pulled Harry Styles and Billy Bush just to illustrate this sort of fundamental catch 22 of trying to write jokes for the intro. Oh, mm-hmm. I said Billy Bush. Sorry, Billy Eilish. I said Billy Bush more than I've said Billy Eilish. And
well, we're talking about Bush a lot.
Yeah, maybe that's
Bush
it too.
China, yeah, of course.
So I'll play the Trevor Noah. You want to do Harry Styles first? Yeah. All right, Harry C word. Harry Bush. Should we do Harry Bush? I'll take my Tourette's and put them all together. And then I'll tell you kind of what the problem is. So we'll play the clip.
We could not be more excited to kick off our show in the biggest way possible. Performing at the Grammy Awards for the first time ever with 3 Grammy nominations tonight, this guy is a global megastar. Ladies, you better watch out, because he'll steal your heart and your dress, and he'll look damn good doing it. Give it up for Harry Styles.
Oh, boy.
Now, the problem, and I ran into this when I wrote for the Oscars for two years, which is you're doing the joke before you're doing sort of the setup or the reveal. So it's kind of backwards. So if you say, next up, Harry Styles, he's an international superstar, and sorry, ladies, he probably looks better in a dress than you do. Welcome, Harry Styles. Then there's a context for the joke, and I'll show you Billie Eilish as well, Billie Eilish as well, because it's but just to show you, it's a fundamental flaw in that they have to tell the joke first and then give you the context. But it always hurts the joke because it's like you're roasting. It's like if Jeff Ross did the roast joke and then said who he was roasting.
Oh, God.
It wouldn't go very well.
And I'm trying to figure out something that's a satisfying way to do this, because they want to do the reveal where they announce the person's name, but they also insist on doing the joke. We'll play you the Billy one. In a second, I think we have it.
All right, no time to waste, people. Singing her Grammy-nominated record of the year, smash hit, Everything I Wanted. This is Billie Eilish.
Oh, wrong Billie Eilish intro. You can ask. Okay. Now, it was toward the end. It was like the last half hour one. Anyway, we'll find it. They did that. He did.
You're right, though. Like when...
Yes.
When they're able to pull this off, when I say they, being any host in any show, it has to be done very sort of artfully and craftily. I'm reminded of when Ricky Gervais famously made the joke about Mel Gibson, she didn't know until he revealed. Like, hey, he's just sitting there drinking and be like, I'd like a drink as much as the next guy.
Right.
The next guy is Mel Gibson. Ladies and gentlemen, Mel Gibson. This is an artful unfolding of that joke, but that's that's hard to pull off.
Oh, yeah. Also, they're pushing, they're dying to push Harry Styles has no problem being either gender with what he wears. So that joke was something that I'm not sure they'd want to write as much as they want people to still know. Hey, this is the guy that wears dresses on the cover of Vogue.
But you're shooting, when you write for those things, you're shooting for a funny intro for all of them, but it's inherently flawed because the joke comes before who we know the joke was aimed at. And that's why they never really get the response. You're right. When they do the monologue, that can be as funny as they want it to be, because they don't have this sort of catch 22 context order problem. And they're going to have to solve it by either. I remember I think when I was writing for the Oscars, I said, I don't even think we should write jokes for this. They never land. Yeah. Just introduce the person. Just go straight and introduce them. Or do it with a Chiron or something, like next up, you know, whoever, Harry Styles or Harry Bush and Billy Bush.
Harry Bush. Harry Bush.
And all that stuff. It was, you know what it was, Chris? It wasn't them introducing Billie Eilish. It was him saying Billie Eilish, but she didn't perform. It was at the end.
Yeah, I see some of the transcript. We're just trying to find that.
It was a joke about, you know, parents being disappointed that your teens didn't make this kind of money or something. Again, it was all fine, but we don't know who he's talking about. So the joke lays there. That was how it went. We'll find it. Woody Allen versus Mia Farrow. How many parts is that system? Series? Sorry.
Four. It's over. It ended Sunday night. Yeah.
Yep.
I've only seen two.
Well, I chased this story as a journalist in New York. I was dispatched to find Sun Yi, and when everything broke, I was everywhere. And what I learned over time, and look, we all think that Woody falling in love with Sun Yi is weird. There's no doubt about it. But I don't believe a word of what Mia Farrow says and Dylan Farrow says. I've gone through this 1,000 times as a journalist with people. I know what the brother Moses says. Everything she cooked up in that attic with the train set isn't true. There was no train set in the attic. I've talked to girls who've gotten abused as young children, and they agree. I said, would daddy promise the daughter a trip to Paris and to put her in a movie at 7 years old? Doesn't a girl that young want to go to Disneyland? Don't you just want a toy? Why the fuck would a dad say, let me touch you, I'll put you in a movie, I'll take you to Paris? That's not what, I mean, this is just one angle.
Well, to but be fair, most of the dads that do the molesting are long-haul truckers. I'm going
to
drive this Peterbilt to Paris, France, and I'm your star in the next Disney movie. Like, that, they're probably not going to be able to launch that. But if your dad is Woody Allen, I don't know, maybe it's sellable.
I'm going to ask you right now, and none of you will know this answer. How many children do you think Mia Farrow has?
Like 9.
Okay, next, who else? Adam?
11.
Brian, Brian?
10. I'll feel the difference.
14. Okay? Oh. She's mentally ill when it comes to that. She coached this girl to do this. It took days and days to get that video done. And we're talking about how many years ago? Way before the iPhone. To sit there with a 7-year-old, we all have children. We know how hard that is to do. She coached this girl to answer questions the way she needed them answered. Every facet of the law investigated it. Everything came back. No, this sounds like a girl coached. Nothing happened. And yet these two filmmakers make this documentary, this series, punishing Woody Allen again. He looks like a guy you want to think is a creep because of the Sun Yi shit. But I was with him in New York. He was a very, like, we just came to love Woody Allen. Forget his movies. He was accepted that that's his girl and now that's his wife. If he was a pedophile, he would have done this at least a few times. Not once in the attic with an imaginary train set that doesn't exist. And everybody in the house that day was there specifically to watch Woody because Mia didn't trust him because it was a custody battle. And he didn't get away. So it's all nonsense. I hate to say it, but Mia Farrow cooked the books on this.
What was the court findings? I know there was some.
They found nothing. They found nothing. I mean, three or four different agencies, so to speak, lawyers, child welfare groups, you name it. All of them found there's nothing concrete here. It sounds like the girl was coached. And that has angered Mia Farrow for all these years. And so if you're a filmmaker and you lean toward her side, it's great fodder for a documentary. But no one, they're not going to interview Moses Farrow, who has said in letters.
He wouldn't interview.
No,
but
he said, this is nonsense. My father didn't do this. I was with him that day. I was 14 years old. He never left our side. You know, there's no train set up there. Like, Moses disputes all of it, but they'll never talk to him. So this is a very one-sided piece of documentary footage or documentary series. It's not fair. And what outside of Mia Farrow working for Woody Allen, can you tell me what else she's done in movies? Can you tell me another director she's worked for?
Well, Rosemary's Baby is about it.
No, of course. But we're talking 50 years ago.
Just because I finished the series, she said, you know, I couldn't work after that. I did a movie in Ireland. I did a movie in wherever else, Finland or whatever. But, you know, Woody said you wouldn't work here. And he saw that I couldn't work here.
A good actress will always work. She's a kook. People don't want to work with a kook. Good actresses get work.
She was good. I saw Radio Days the other day.
Yeah, I hear the cannons roar. Is it the king approaching? I guess it helped I had the hiccups.
And Broadway Dani Rose as well.
Yeah. That was Woody, though. I mean, she's great. I love Mia Farrow in movies. I love those two together. They made magic together.
Well, I got a rundown from super fan Giovanni about this and about how the nannies sort of retracted their statements.
Recanted their
statements and things of that nature. And it did seem like there's a lot more gray area here than how it was presented via the documentary.
But one thing real quick, she's a very vindictive person to the tune of many. When I used to hang out with Robert Evans, and he made Rosemary's Baby with Mia. At the same time, Frank Sinatra was with her and wanted her to leave the movie and be in his movie, The Detective. And she went to Bob Evans crying, and Bob said, Mia, you can't leave. You're on the contract. But Bob, if I don't leave, Frank's going to divorce me. So Bob said to her, I've seen the dailies. You're going to win Best Actress. You're that good. And when Rosemary's Baby came out and the grosses beat The Detective, Frank's movie, she couldn't wait to buy a full-page ad in Variety to show the grosses of her movie versus the grosses of Sinatra's movie. She's a very vindictive type of person. Women don't do that and back off from it years later. That's her makeup.
I'm not here to defend Mia Farrow. I don't know anything about her. But didn't Sinatra serve her divorce papers on set? I mean, she kind of had it, you know, like she had it justified and kind of shipping him the finger.
I understand that he did that. He was, you know, he was a big shit back then. But Mia Farrow is known as a kooky chick. And of course, Woody's known as a creepy guy because of Soon-Yi. But I just don't believe the Dylan Mia stuff. I think she did a lot of coaching.
The one thing that I haven't heard you disputing, and I didn't hear anyone in the series disputing, which is probably a good thing since we're talking about someone who was a little kid, is no one's blaming Dylan for this. You know,
no,
it's not
I
like
haven't heard that.
Yeah, it's more like if, you know, if they're talking about, you know, if there was implanted fake, you know, false memories or led her down away, you can't blame
No, I wouldn't blame a little girl for that. I think mommy is very persuasive in what you're supposed to say. I hate to even think that that's what went on. But, you know, there are some women who can do that. There are some men who can do that. I think this is what this is about. And it's just become Mia's lifetime dream and goal is to punish him and punish him and punish him. I'm Team Woody. I'll always be Team Woody.
Well, speaking of that, the Newsom versus Villaraigosa. Villaraigosa was the mayor here in Los Angeles for probably about 8 years. And I was happy to see Villaraigosa go, and then we got Garcetti, where
I know the worst.
Garcetti's just a fucking houseplant. He's a wuss.
His wife. I heard his wife really makes a lot of the big decisions, and he lets her kind of like, you know. But you tell, I said to Chris that one of my sources told me that obviously you know that Villaraigosa is going to run against Newsom in this recall thing if it all goes through. A lot of people have said, "Be careful what you wish for." You think Newsom is a certain way, but maybe he's not as bad as the next guy. None of us like Villaraigosa. But I think we all feel that Newsom is at his time and enough is enough.
Well, the thing about Newsom is Newsom's not dumb. He's just a sociopath and he's power hungry and he doesn't give a fuck about anything other than that. Villaraigosa is flat out dumb. He's just a dumb ass dude. He's failed. I think he failed the bar 4 times and then he didn't pass it on the 5th attempt. He never did it again. Failing it 4 times was enough to know how fucking dumb he is. Can you imagine? Wow. Imagine Los Angeles I think they'd say is about the fifth, sixth, seventh, I don't know, largest economy in the world. Yeah. Imagine a guy running the fifth largest economy in the world who failed the bar four fucking times. I mean, Gergis's kid passed it on the first try. I'm sure Kim Kardashian will do it on in under three. The guy who's running that economy failed the bar four times and then never passed it. Just quit. His name is Tony Villar. It's not Villaraigosa. Right. Took the name from his wife, tried to Latin it up, then cheated on the wife. Yeah. He now is a spokesperson for or works for Herbalife now. Oh, I mean, could you get how much lower could you get than this fucking imbecile running the state? He wants to now run the state now. We're going to have to do better.
You don't have, I know you don't have time for this, but ever since you destroyed him on the show, Newsom, with the Chinese and Asian people and blacks and the whole checking account nonsense, you destroyed Newsom. I would love, just like Howard Stern was saying many years ago, he'd run for governor. Adam Carolla for governor would be a landslide winner.
Oh, I
don't
know.
You don't have the time. I know you don't want the job, but clearly you defeat these assholes.
I would vote for anyone at this point who is just a pragmatist. Just a nuts and bolts.
No one has like a nostalgia for the good old Villaraigosa days. Like no one's if we only could get him back.
Yeah. No.
No, you're right.
No, I know.
It's terrible.
And we'll see. I mean, they got enough votes for the recall. The good news about the recall is it forced Newsom to start opening theaters and gyms and schools. It's forced him to get off his ass a little bit, because if this thing was still shut down as we're heading into these runoff elections and whatnot, he'd be soup. So he decided, well, I like the optics of trying to open shit up. So we get to benefit from that.
Yeah, we just keep the anvil over his head, and now he really is a public servant.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, maybe you guys can help me out. So Biden and Kamala Harris and Pelosi and Schumer, everybody gets vaccinated, but yet they still wear masks. I don't understand that. Biden walks to the podium with a mask on. Okay. But now the other thing is, last night at the Grammys, Trevor Noah's maskless. Everybody who's sitting in those like 11 tables are wearing masks. As soon as they win, they take the mask off to talk. If you're performing, your mask is off. What the fuck is the point of all this?
The point is,
if you're in a restaurant, you can walk to your table with a mask. You sit down, no mask. Come on.
Oh, by the way, there was a last time I went out to eat, there was a thing that said, here's the protocols on the table. And, you know, take your mask off, but then when your server comes by, put the mask back on. But then when the drinks come, you can take the mask off when the food. And the person I was with went, oh, so they want us to put the mask on when the waitress comes by? I said, they don't give two fucking shits. They have to put the fucking paper out so the health department won't shut them down. They don't give a fuck. They work at a restaurant. They would like to be at 100% capacity. They wouldn't be here if they're fucking pussy cowards like the rest of the people in California. And they don't give two shits. They're forced to do this warning thing that the rules are laid out. They're on every table. It's all theater. Of course, look no further than an airplane. Mask on. Here's some snacks. Mask off. Done with the snacks. Mask on again. Pulled over your nose. It's all theater. And the reason Biden and Kamala Harris and all those folks wear it is because they believe that they're sending a message, which is they need to see examples of people wearing masks. But it's a retarded example because everyone's been vaccinated. They're going to push for the masks after everyone is vaccinated as well, which is insane. There are people who wear masks. There are people who don't wear masks. The message is clear. It's out. We've all heard it 10,000 times. I'll liken it to seatbelts. Most people wear seatbelts. Certain people don't. Good luck convincing them. If Biden walked out there with a sash of a seatbelt across his suit, you think you'd get your weird old uncle who swore off seatbelts to now wear a seatbelt?
No.
No, we are in two camps. there's the wear the mask camp, and then there's I'm not going to wear a mask camp, and no visual references of I, as a matter of fact, I would probably say at this point in our history, as the pandemic goes, the people who have decided to wear a mask are already masked up. I see them walking right. alone on the beach. I see them walking alone on the horse trail. I see them driving alone in the car. They are wearing masks. The people who've decided we're not wearing masks are not wearing masks. And Biden showing up with a mask probably gets more people to not wear a mask who may have been on a fringe than because the people that are already wearing masks are wearing masks. If that's what you decided, that's what you decided.
But when Biden says in his national address, if we're all we want to all be vaccinated by May, and then by July 4th, you can have small gatherings mm-hmm. in your backyard. Fuckface, if I'm vaccinated in May, which I'm not going to do, you can't tell me I need a mask in small groups in July. If we're supposed to believe the science, what is that science? What is he talking about?
First off, I was in Oklahoma City playing sold out clubs, going to restaurants, flying Ubers.
It's
the
great.
Fucking rest of the
it's
country's
great.
Open. I don't know.
I know.
I don't know if they don't understand that the rest of these places. I've been traveling the country the entire time doing everything.
Right.
If the fucking
right.
airline flights are packed. Everything is open. Anyway, the small gatherings at the barbecue by the 4th of July. It's fucking condescending. It's insanity. Mm-hmm. And if you want to talk about following the science, once everyone's vaccinated, what the fuck do we have to keep it to small? Whatever. But someone needs to inform these assholes. It's already done. It's open.
I know.
I'm going to fucking Reno this weekend and doing a bunch of shows. I've been to Texas 3 or 4 times. I've been to Nashville. I've been Oklahoma City. Yeah. We've been everywhere that doesn't have Gavin Newsom as a governor, and it's fucking wide open, and everyone are living their lives, and their kids are back to school. This is only California that is shut down, and you know parts of New York and New Jersey and maybe some of Michigan. This is not the world anymore, and by the time we get to July 4th, people will be ignoring every single thing the government tells them to do. All right, and, you know... Tin Horn Flats, the restaurant that's 2 miles from here.
I ate there a month ago.
Just had the Burbank City Council shut their electricity. So their electricity's been shut off.
Garagos is representing them, right? So
this whole big speech of like together and government and we are government and together and we are in government. And the government's the one who fucking makes insane proclamations about eating outdoors. And when they're ignored by small business, then they fucking shut them down and shut their electricity. So, no, it's not all government. We're all together and it's one big happy fucking family. And if we just do what we have to follow your retarded science, there is no. I talked to Drew yesterday. He said there's no outdoor transmission at all. It doesn't exist. There are no instances of outdoor transmission. But you just decide to shut. You take these businesses that are already beleaguered because you shut their indoor business. You force them all out to the fucking sidewalk with tents. And then based on zero information, you shut down all outdoor dining. And somebody defies you and your fucked up retarded logic. And now you're going to come down on them and make an example out of them by pulling by shutting their electricity. All right. Pardon me. Maybe I'm a little skeptical of government. Maybe I don't think they're so good at their jobs. Maybe I think they get a little heavy-handed at times. Right. So here's the good news. Texas is wide open, is absolutely wide open. And as you hear this, we're coming up on a week of Texas. They were open before this. So was Florida. Right. They're going to be just wide open. And then when nothing happens, then may we get our gyms to 20% capacity. Or open schools 2 days a week. Like, once nothing happens in fucking Texas, can we do something close to normal in California? Or do we just, do we have our own California strain of this disease?
Right.
Variant.
Variant?
The variants and what they're doing is scary. The only thing they have left to scare people with is this nebulous variant, which sounds really bad, except for the pesky fact that in reality, the variants are closer to the common cold than they are to anything else. You know, if bars and restaurants were thought or alleged or blamed as the most dangerous places to be for the last year, with their reopening being chastised as the primary source of the spread, why aren't bar and restaurant workers the first to be fucking vaccinated? I'm an asshole and I can figure that out. Why are teachers who are undoubtedly in the safest environment in the single workforce of all time at the front? Why aren't they getting shots right away? It's all bullshit.
I agree. It kills old people and people with pre-existing conditions. And that's not something they wanted us to know. Right. We have an outro for AJ.
That was Allegedly with AJ Benza. Called that so we don't get sued. All views and opinions expressed in this segment are lightly researched and or complete conjecture based on hearsay and rumor from loose connections within the entertainment industry. There's no concrete way to prove that any of the claims made by AJ are in fact accurate and not libelous or defamatory. But again, we remind any legal representation who may be listening that the view and opinions expressed belong to AJ and only AJ, host of Fame as a Bitch, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
All right. We got the news. First, let me tell you about my friends at KFC. Well, you can feed your whole family and your whole crew with KFC. KFC's buckets of chicken. Oh, I love this stuff. Piping hot, crispy, delicious, filling. It's a home-cooked meal you didn't have to cook. Earliest memories of KFC was heading out to my Uncle Vince's house with my cousin Greg. And out in Santa Monica, we get a bucket of KFC, and it's all I looked forward to. KFC sides, I got the mac and cheese, I got the fries, I got the mashed potatoes and gravy, biscuits, coleslaw. Yeah, get the sides. I get the coleslaw and the mashed potatoes with the gravy. I love this stuff. Anyway, I can smell it already. I even would keep the bucket back in the day. That's probably more part of my horrible childhood than an endorsement of the bucket. But we love this stuff. You can smell it. Close your eyes. You can smell that KFC right now. It is KFC. Stick around. News with AJ Benza right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff-faced on TMZ. Joe Biden, Kamala. Meet news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Start with something that I imagine AJ, you either have an opinion on or some insight, a little a double barrel here. We've all heard now of the publication Charlie Hebdo, of course, from Paris, who, you know, they got their offices shot up because of a depiction of Muhammad, and, you know, they're very controversial. Well, they have a new cover that is eliciting a pretty big response. Oh, it is, and we have it. It's a cartoon depicting the Queen of England kneeling on the neck of Meghan Markle.
Wow.
It's, of course, invoking the George Floyd incident. Wow. The cover image came days after Meghan's and Harry's, damning accusations of what's going on in Buckingham Palace. They did with Oprah Winfrey about Archie's skin color, about them ignoring Meghan Markle's plea for, you know, more mental health care. In the interview, Meghan also described, they didn't offer her adequate protection and security. So this Charlie Hebdo cover page is what they got from that. And I'll just double on that, saying that Buckingham Palace, of course, announced it's hiring an independent investigator to look into the bullying allegations against Meghan Markle. Now, staff, and I think AJ will probably have some insight on this, some staffers accuse Meghan of creating the toxic work environment, bullying them, bringing them to tears. The law firm that will be leading the probe will conduct interviews with everyone except Meghan and Harry, because they feel like, you know, they've said their piece. Now let's hear from these guys. Royal sources say the inquiry will cover some harrowing stories which have not been made public.
Wow. Well, first of all, I think it's a brilliant cartoon, although I think Meghan Markle's knee should be on the Queen's neck, because I think what she pulled off in that interview with Oprah, the worst interview of all time. Oprah is not a master interviewer. She just let Meghan and Harry talk, and most of it was nonsense. my people inside that whole thing tell me that Camilla Bowles was the person who remarked about the possible skin color of Archie before he was born. Now he's as white as fucking Shirley Temple. No one cares. Meghan Markle's one-eighth black. I'm from Sicily. I have 5% black in me. I'm darker than Meghan Markle. I'm so sick of people acting like you can't disagree with anybody who's got any bit of color in them or you're a racist. The fact is what she did, what she's been doing, and I'm telling you right now, please hold me to this. I know Prince Philip is 99 years old and always sick. To take away the narrative from all this nonsense, this guy's going to die, but not die from natural causes. They're going to make sure Prince Philip dies fast, whether they give him enough morphine, cut off his oxygen, create a new infection. He's going to go within the next 2 or 3 weeks to take the narrative away and make some sympathy be thrown on the palace. Because what Meghan Markle and Harry have done to them right now is nonsense. These fucking people are multimillionaires. No one's worried about their feelings. It's all bullshit.
I had this thought, because my thoughts are always this. We always talk about how racist our culture is and our society is and, you know, how difficult it is to be black in this culture. If that, in fact, is true, then how come people that are born to a mixed family, you have a white father and a black mother,
I always say
you
this
come out in some way where I couldn't tell if you're white or Italian or Puerto Rican or half black or anything. Why do you identify as black if, in fact, we live in a horrible racist culture? Why not?
I always say
why
that.
Choose that side? I mean, if you went back historically, there are plenty of examples, you know, think Germany, where people may have been half Jewish going, what do you mean? I'm not half Jewish. I'm fucking full Aryan. Like, I'm not
here. And in this country as well, it was called passing.
Yeah, right.
So
right.
You'd want to because you were safer that way.
Why is someone who can pass for white bending over backwards to identify as that? If in fact that's the culture. Now, that's not the culture. And that's why they're doing it. They get more good than bad out of it. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's called professional victimhood.
Yes.
I had a girlfriend who was an eighth black. She saw me beat up a black cab driver and she was screaming, crying. I said, what's your problem? I'm black. Yeah. Okay. But you're 1/8 black. But like, no one knows you're black unless you scream it.
But
it's victimhood.
And then she yelled, Dad, are you okay?
No.
Well, I am beating his ass.
You know, like, you know, I get, look, Derek Jeter, we see his mom and dad at the Yankee games. You know, white mom, black dad. But they call him a black ball player. Mariah Carey is a black singer. No one wants to go, well, wait a minute. We did Ancestry.com. I'm only 22% black. Even if they were, they still will say I'm black. Or a person of color, which covers everything.
Well, what is Meghan?
I just think
what's Meghan Markle? Is she half?
I think no. Her mother's not all black. Her mother's not all black. So that makes her probably a quarter. That makes Archie a fucking octoroon. Nobody cares when it gets down to that little bit of color. You certainly can't scream it from a mountaintop and expect to get some sympathy and reparations because, by the way, the Bridgerton, the TV show, was all about how there was a black, like the church. Hundreds and hundreds of years of interspecies sex. They come from black people. Go watch Bridgerton. It's all about that.
Interspecies?
The black.
Interspecies? Well,
No. Sorry. Interracial. No. Interracial sex, not interspecies. The point is, yes, there's black in the castle. There's black in the royal family. But they think that Meghan Markle's, it's too pronounced and Archie would look black. They just want this. If you're Meghan Markle and you think you're going to commit suicide because you had a fight with your sister-in-law about clothes or the people are bothering you about what your son's going to look like, I'm with Piers Morgan. And poor Sharon Osbourne, who protects Piers Morgan and says to Cheryl Underwood on the talk, tell me what he said. What's racist? Now there's a big investigation. The talk's off the air for 2 or 3 days.
Really?
And Sharon Osbourne's going to... And she's going to lose her fucking job. Because
I'm surprised you didn't know.
I never heard this story.
Man.
Well, the thing about...
It's terrible.
Here's
You're
the,
a big talk fan.
I know. Here's the big problem. The Piers Morgan is sharing his opinion because that's his fucking job. So this notion where we put people into a position where we want commentary, we want their opinion... their opinion can be based on expertise. It can be based on history. It can be based on a gut feeling. It can be based on people they know who they've spoken to. But either way, it's their fucking opinion. So when Piers shares his opinion, he's just sharing his opinion. And he's saying, yeah, I don't believe her. Based right. on his opinion. He should be welcome to that. And as a matter of fact, when you're doing a format, that's kind of what you want. You want five people all with the same opinion? I think not.
No.
So there's that. My problem with her is when she was laying out the curtsy thing and how that seemed like a bridge too far. She was sort of offended that she was someone was explaining to her, do you know how to curtsy? The fact that she chose to use that as an example shows that she's not calibrated correctly. You shouldn't be saying that into a hot mic. That is not an example of you being oppressed or you being held down or racism or anything of any kind. That's you're driving to Buckingham Palace and someone is asking you, because you're from Encino, do you know how to curtsy? That's a very valid question. And if you would like to take that and convert it into something negative or oppressive, then that's the mode you're in. You're in the conversion mode. Way too many people are in the fucking conversion mode.
The subtext of it was like, can you believe it? It's like, yes, we can all believe it.
Right.
Yeah, yes. Why can't you believe it?
Right. So that brings into question for me some of the other things she said. Now, you know, Piers is allowed to give his opinion and then they're allowed to fire him or he stormed off or whatever it is. Really? God bless Piers Morgan, because his when he was interviewed the next day, he was like, fuck you guys. That's my opinion. I still believe it. You're entitled to your opinion, but this is my opinion. So I'm going to leave with my dignity and my goddamn opinions versus Chris from The Bachelor, the host of The Bachelor, who just groveled and groveled. Chris Harrison just groveled and groveled and licked sack. And now he's out anyway. So that lesson to the kids, you're going to be out anyway. At least escape with your dignity, like Piers Morgan versus Chris Harrison.
Because now Holly Robinson Pete went back in her files in her head and said, well, when I did the talk, Sharon Osbourne complained I was too ghetto. So you know Osbourne's done. You can't even say, you know, Chris Cuomo one time said I'm black inside. Now, I've got a lot of friends who are black, and since I'm Sicilian and I have a certain attitude, they'll tell me. They won't say you're black. They'll say the N-word to me. Now, I could never say that. But the fact is, there are some people who get along with the other races in the world, and it's no problem. But Sharon Osbourne's going to lose her job. And Piers Morgan knew Meghan Markle. She used to go to his bar. She was going there to meet Harry. He had a friendship with her. He's allowed to say what he wants to say. But it's all over. It's all over. You can't disagree with anything black, anybody black. And I'm telling you, I'm going to give you a prediction, and you can hold me to it. Number one, I'll tell you that Harry and Meghan will be divorced soon. He knows he does not belong here with this bitch. He belongs back in England with his family. The other prediction is, before we lose, I'm off the show. I'm telling you, Adam, eventually, I said we can't say Mr. Coffee. That's going to happen within a second. You can't say master bedroom. That's already been established. Pretty soon, you're not going to see the word cotton on the back of your clothes tags.
This is a weird thing. First off, wait, we can't say Mr. Coffee? Oh, because there's no Mrs. Coffee?
You can't.
Mr. Potato Head.
Mr. Potato Head, Mr. Coffee, very bad.
Well, great minds, AJ, because about 3 days ago, I was walking up my stairs in my house, and I saw one of those ceramic containers with the lid on it that you put on top of your bathroom countertop, and it said cotton. I just said cotton on it. And I thought, at some point, that's going to be problematic. And and everyone kind of goes, oh, get the fuck out of here. But look how far we've come in the last year and a half. I mean, in terms of what's problematic.
Seems like, what about the song?
Oh, remember, yeah.
The fabric of our lives. Oh,
I thought you were talking about Look Away. We will get to that, because the thing that's interesting with Sharon Osbourne and Chris Harrison is you don't have to be a primary person anymore. You can get fragged for defending the person that did the primary insult, which is kind of a scary. So now what we're doing is the people who crossed whatever invisible line we've drawn in the sand about race talk, they're getting wished out in the cornfield. And then all the others who would have defended them in the past are zipping it now because they're going to get wished out. So the message is being sent that do not even try to defend a colleague. You shall be wished out into the cornfield as well. I'll tell you, fear, man, it's a bitch.
There you go.
Fear and
good.
Fear
yeah. Go ahead. AJ, say it. Fear, it's a bitch.
Fear is a bitch. Listen, there's a school in New York City, a private school, that's now told their children, you cannot say mom and dad anymore in school. It's parents or it's folks. Obama made the word folks so wonderful. Hey, the folks can't say mom and dad. I have a mother and a father.
There's a whole menu of that's an interesting story too. There's a whole menu of what to call your parents, what to call schoolmates, not boys and girls or moms and dads. No, and it's, boy, the language people look for the goddamn language. All right, let's do another one, Gina Grad.
All right. Well, we talked a little about the Grammys. We talked about the Oscars, but let's talk about everyone's favorite nominees, the Razzies. Those are out, and Robert Downey Jr.'s Doolittle leads the nominees for the 41st annual Golden Raspberry Award.
It might be a great year for the Razzies.
Yeah, the one-time Iron Man, he scored two, one for the worst actor and one for the worst scene combo in his, quote, utterly unconvincing Welsh accent in the fantasy flick. Doolittle is also up for Worst Picture. This is going to be announced on April 24th, the day before the Oscars. I'll just run down these. And like the Oscars, you may not be familiar with some of these movies.
Go right ahead.
Worst Picture, 365 Days, Absolute Proof, Doolittle, Fantasy Island, and Music. Now, we never did talk about Music. Mm. I had a story that I'd been sitting on. I just got rid of it. But Music was directed by Sia. The movie Music was directed by Sia.
Big problems. Kate Hudson, right?
Yes, played the mother or the caretaker or whatever. Right. Maddie Ziegler, she was the little girl from Dance Moms. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, God.
But Sia plucked her out of the chorus and put her in all of her music videos. So if you've seen a Sia music video, you've seen this little girl dancing. She's not she's a teenager now.
Right.
And she plays a girl. This is from memory from reading the synopsis, but she plays an autistic girl named Music.
Oh, boy.
And apparently it's poorly conceived. The offensive.
Poorly conceived.
Man, is that bad.
So let's move on to worst actor. Robert Downey Jr. for Doolittle. Mike Lindell, the My Pillow guy for Absolute Proof.
Oh, come on.
Michelle Maroney, 365 Days. Adam Sandler for Hubie Halloween.
That was not that bad. No.
David Spade for The Wrong Missy. And here's worst actress.
That was a funny movie, The Wrong Missy.
I heard it was great.
I liked it.
Anne Hathaway for, I don't know, Brian, do you know The Last Thing He Wanted? That and The Witches. Yeah. Katie Holmes for Brahms, The Boy 2, and The Secret, Dare to Dream. Kate Hudson for Music. Lauren Lapkus for The Wrong Missy. And Anna Maria.
I thought Lauren Lapkus was great in that.
She was great. Yeah. She was great.
It might actually be slim pickings for the Razzies as well. And just because this is funny, worst supporting actress, Lucy Hale for Fantasy Island, Maggie Q for Fantasy Island, Kristen Wiig, Wonder Woman, Maddie Ziegler, Music. But always funny when this happens, as Brian mentioned, she is up for an Oscar for this. Glenn Close for Hillbilly Elegy.
Perfect.
Well, they shit on Hillbilly Elegy because of the whole politics of it all, but she was really good in that.
Well, she earned herself an Oscar nomination.
She should win the Oscar. I looked at the list briefly today.
She shouldn't win the Oscar.
With the people she's up against, I think Glenn Close did better than I saw three of those movies, so I can't speak for the other two. But for what I saw, I think Glenn Close uglied herself up. She's been nominated 8 times and not won. She's one of our best actresses of all time. It's time for Glenn Close to win. Why not?
Well, Glenn Close has never won an Oscar?
No. 0-8. 0-7. And now this is the
Albert Nobbs.
She was, good in Hillbilly Elegy. But what are they doing? What is the Razzies doing? I mean, why are they doing that? Well, why are they taking someone who turned in a good performance and giving her a Razzie?
I don't think it's the first time that's happened.
Yeah. But, oh, is it?
It's happened before.
I don't think so. Yeah. It's
no,
kind of
but
funny
isn't
when it,
it
does.
Isn't it? Won't they do it for different movies? Like Sandra Bullock will be in a good movie, and then Sandra Bullock will be in, you know, Police Force 17 or something.
Right.
And then the same one, but for the same film?
The same performance.
Very strange.
But that's weird. Doesn't that kind of screw with their screws with their format? Doesn't
Maybe.
It?
Maybe.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. I went on your recommendation of the movie Boss Level. I think Frank Grillo's a cool dude.
I liked it.
Yeah, it was a fun movie. But if you don't know video games, I watched this with my 70-something-year-old sister and a husband. They didn't know what the hell was going on. Frank Grillo's a cool-looking dude. And I saw him in a movie with Bruce Willis last night, some interspace thing, the year 2500. You know, his name is above Bruce Willis in a movie now? That's...
Wow.
When did this happen?
I guess 10 minutes ago, but good for Frank Grillo.
Yeah. No,
I hope you were
true.
Recording their farts the entire time when they were shaking their head, not getting the references to Donkey Kong.
I'm coming back to L.A. No, that's not him. It's their son, my nephew. There'll be plenty of guests. I'll send you some JPEGs. Don't worry about it.
Please.
We're eating a lot.
Hey. All right. I'm going to buy everyone a minute here, but see if the Razzies have done this for the same person in the same movie, not the same person in two different movies, because I find that interesting. And then I'm trying to figure out what their motivation is, because I feel like the Razzies are the Razzies.
Without knowing, I'll bet it's happened a couple times before. Maybe... Yeah. It makes sense with Glenn Close this year, because that was as interesting as that performance was. It was a bit over the top, colorful, a bit silly, but it stood out. It was interesting. It was good.
You know what? To me, it stood out like Allison Janney did in I, Tonya. Completely crazy, bad mom, bitchy mom.
Yeah.
But let me ask you a question. Was Dirty Grandpa this year? Because Robert De Niro should run away with it. Was that this year?
That was like 3 years ago, I think. Look for that, because it doesn't make sense to me. But let me tell you about Liquid IV. Oh, I love this stuff. I always travel with this stuff because I tend to have a few pops on the airplane. Those who listen understand that. And then I go out to the club and I do a few shows and have a couple pops after the show. And Liquid IV is something that always comes with me in my travel bag. Drink it before you go to bed if you've had a couple of cold ones. Or, exercise, working hard, sleep deprivation. It's good for that, too. One stick is like drinking 2 cups of coffee. That's for the energy multiplier. That'll get you back in the game fast. Natural alternative to processed energy drinks. And you get tired during the day. Some people sort of hit that wall at like 3 o'clock. They want to take a nap. Get some of that Liquid IV energy multiplier. And, half Americans struggle with daily fatigue. I didn't know that. Lack of motivation, poor mood, decreased focus. I like the lemon lime strawberry flavor myself. Clean ingredients, non-GMO, vegan and gluten and dairy-free, soy-free as well. Extremely convenient, the packaging, like I said, when I travel, I always take it with me, my travel kit. It's Liquid IV, right, Dawson?
Grab your energy Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Adam at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you use promo code Adam at liquidiv.com. Start fueling your adventures today at liquidiv.com, promo code Adam.
Well, I owe everyone an apology. Wait! No, Glenn Close is the only one nominated for the same movie. So it's not their thing.
That's it? Wow.
Max Zapata. I don't know.
I'm looking at the Hollywood Reporter, and there's 11. You're right, not for the same performance. But then I'm looking farther down, and I mean, it's not a topical reference, but it says Amy Irving in Barbra Streisand's directorial debut, Yentl. Amy Irving plays the young Jewish, blah, 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 blah. Interestingly, Razzie voters listed Irving as a nominee for the Worst Supporting Actress Award for the same performance as her Oscar nod. So I know that's a pretty Amy deep Irving. Cut.
Well, it's been 44 years, but it's happened, yeah. I guess.
And I guess I'm looking at James Coco. There's a, I don't know who, if in Only When I Laugh, James Coco starred as Jimmy Prino, blah, 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 blah.
Very old movie,
A year after the first ever Razzie Awards, Coco made history by becoming not only the first actor to receive both Oscar and Razzie nomination in the same year, but also the first actor to receive both nominations for the same performance.
Well, so then there's precedent, but it's been 50 years, but they've done it.
AJ was right, by the way. 8 nominations for Glenn Close. No wins.
Unbelievable.
I mean, she's one of the treasures of American acting. Glenn Close needs to win one.
I agree. She's a great actress, and she's been in so many movies. I'm surprised. I would have assumed that she had one all this rose.
Who beat her the year of Fatal Attraction, for God's sake?
Oh, God. That was 87, so who?
I don't know who. I don't know who. I have my phone. I can't use my phone, but... If there was ever a year she was going to win, my God. Every man's nightmare.
A movie you probably didn't see, but is up against her in supporting actress is Minari. And the grandma Minari is spectacular. Yeah.
To answer your question, if we're talking about 1987, you will not be surprised. And to bring the whole show full circle, Marlee Matlin. Children of a Lesser God.
Children of a Lesser God. And by the way,
we better close out now while we can.
The Asian woman who's up for whatever that movie is, Variety or the Hollywood Reporter wrote something about there's a bunch of Asian people up for awards, and they said they're breaking the bamboo ceiling, which you can't. Well, they said it, but it was the title of a very famous book. Really? So the person thought they were being cute, but of course, everybody jumped on. I think it was the Hollywood Reporter. Can you take this headline down? It's so bad. It's so embarrassing. It's this. But they were trying to play off the book title that was a big seller many years ago, but it didn't work out.
According to Max Zapata, Glenn Close lost a share for Moonstruck. Marlee Matlin was the year before.
Oh, so it must have been 88.
Oh, and I remember it clearly because if I close my eyes, I can still hear her acceptance speech. The great Marlee.
Oh, God.
I hated Cher winning, by the way. I hated Cher winning.
Too.
I hated it.
Me too.
Because
really?
It was bullshit. Yes, I didn't like. At first, her performance was sort of pedestrian in that. I mean, not Oscar. The whole movie was kind of more than I enjoyed. I mean, it was fine, but it shouldn't have gotten all the accolades. It was fine. Cher got a lot of credit because she put gray in her hair. And it was like, she's so brave. Oh, look at her. She's playing an older woman. It was like, that was the beginning of the she's so brave, she should get a award. Yeah. And I was just like, I don't know. I didn't think it was a great acting role.
It wasn't. Listen, there's one line that comes out of that movie, and it's embarrassing. Snap out of it when she snaps Nicolas Cage. Right. It's embarrassing that she's an Italian woman. Fatal Attraction destroyed that movie. Glenn Close was way better.
Cher was better in Mask than in Moonstruck.
Mask, she was great in. Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah, definitely.
I agree. All right, let's bring it home. Cher beat Glenn Close, Holly Hunter, Meryl Streep. See, that was not. No one ever talks about Cher's performance in Moonstruck. It's not studied in acting academies or anything.
Of course not.
But the smartest thing she did was put the gray in her hair.
Gray.
And everyone
very
went
good.
So brave. So brave.
Wow.
And it's true. You only need that one little line. Snap out of it. She yelled that. It just gets into the zeitgeist and people go, look at her. She's a tough woman with some gray in her hair. This is going to be awesome. All right, let's bring it home, baby.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Jeremy Piven coming in tomorrow. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Tax deadline is approaching. Avoid being a victim of tax scams. File early. Be aware of suspicious activity. Apply for an IRS identity protection PIN number, please. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day. Put our info at risk on the internet. In an instant, cyber criminals could take your money, credit, reputation. Good thing There's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number, for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has been potentially compromised, they will send you an alert. So protect yourself with LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours, yours with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com. Promo code Adam. That's LifeLock.com. Promo code Adam for 25% off.
We need a ball puller for Reno, so I'm told. And I don't know about the email part, Max Zapata.
So you want to email us at email us questions at adamcarolla.com. Let us know if you're interested. We'll get back to you.
All right. That's coming up this weekend. Virginia Street Brew House, March 19th and 20th. Be doing stand-up there. I think they added a second show for Saturday night. And Jam in the Van Speakeasy. That's March 25th out here. I'll be doing stand-up there. Adam Ray's going to be opening for me. We'll have some mangria and cannabis for the crowd. Mm. So, you know, we're going to be funny. Dawson's opening up, too. Loxie, Chris's band is playing. Nashville Zanies, the 14th. Live pod there. You can go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows. And until next time, this is Adam for Terry Dunn-Muir and A.J. Benza and Gina Grad and Bull Bryan saying... Mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744, I think. And pick up any of Adam's books. They're all at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.